Hello and welcome back to Even More News, the first and only news podcast. My name's Katie Stoll.
It's not my name.
Nope.
It's Cody Johnston.
That's right, it is. And joining us today, we have...
Katie Golden. So that is my name.
That is your name. That is your name. It's right. But you guys are also... They're actually very different names.
Yeah.
Mine's Katie with a Y.
Yeah.
And you're Katie I-E.
I got blasted when you were on my podcast, Katie.
Oh.
Like, we had a brief joke about how our names are spelled differently, and I got absolutely blasted by the critics who were like, this is supposed to be a show about animals. Why are you talking about names? So if we can breeze past that, I'm Katie I-E, and you're K-A-T-Y. They're different, but the same. Weird.
Please don't at us.
Don't at us.
Thank you.
Get out of my DMs.
Katie, Cody, and I would love to wish you all a very national, edit that, a very,
leave that in there.
A very happy national bow tie day. Woohoo!
It's a very national bow tie day.
It is a very national bow tie day.
Congratulations, bow ties.
Congratulations, white supremacist Tucker Carlson, for bringing it home with the bow tie.
And congratulations, bow tie, for Tucker Carlson breaking up with you in recent years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he got rid of the bow tie when he realized he wanted to be a white nationalist.
I like to think that the bow tie launched itself off of Tucker. It's like, I'm goofy, but not this doofy.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, I will
not be participating in this.
Someone make an animation of that, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to go. My planet needs me. And bow ties.
Speaking of bow ties, how do you tie them? Lucky for you, today's episode of Even More News is brought to you by Skillshare, offering Even More News listeners 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. Maybe, but probably not, including how to tie a bow tie. To sign up, go to Skillshare.com/news. I think that was a really good ad.
Thank you.
Cody wrote it.
I did.
But I... killed
you
it in
killed
the delivery.
It. You didn't even know what was coming.
Nope.
I just,
that
like, was
segue
like bow ties.
Was so smooth. It felt like I was just sliding on a frictionless surface.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It is.
You didn't even know.
No, I was like, wait, what? Where am I? I'm in ads now.
Yeah,
and
I just,
it was over before I knew it.
I just guided you right along into the next section, like I'm doing right now. When I say that today, we are going to talk about just a couple of news stories. And then we're also going to use the second half of the show to talk to Katie about what's going on in the Amazon rainforest.
Shit's on fire, yo.
Shit's on fire, yo.
On purpose?
So look forward to that.
Yes, actually.
But we're going to get to that in like 20 minutes or so. Today we're going to start by talking about David Koch.
Oh.
Who's dead.
Aw.
He fucking died.
You can't, listen, you cannot make fun of anyone who has died.
No.
I saw someone on Twitter who said, you know, you cannot speak ill of the dead, period. And I was like, I like to speak ill of Hitler. And she's like, whatever.
You know, in general, I have a hard time when people die. Most people, like, immediately the day that they die, I tend to refrain. Like, just give it a beat.
I knew that about you. I was surprised when
you
were like...
Well, either that opinion has changed in me during the last couple years of just truly terrible people getting away with everything all the time, or I really dislike the Koch brothers, or a mixture of both. But I did not hesitate to comment on him dying.
Yeah.
Like we're going to do now. So, okay, like we said last week, David Koch of the Brothers Koch passed away after a long battle with prostate cancer. And like we were talking about, everybody celebrated with fun tweets, you know, making fun of him. And then conservative Twitter was all like, how dare you? He's a philanthropist. And, you know, not really. I mean, his philanthropy was mostly like to offset the awful things they did. I don't know. It just feels kind of like.
Well, yeah, philanthropy like that is usually, yeah, to offset the other bad things you're doing. And also... for tax reasons.
For tax reasons. Well, it's like...
A lot... Well, like... So one of the main things he did is donate a lot to cancer research for prostate cancer.
Which is what he has.
Right. Right. And like... It's one of those things where, like, if you're... Isn't it a shame that not everyone is a billionaire, so they can't all, like, decide, like, well, that's the thing that I'm going to fix. Like,
right.
And, like,
well,
the money did a lot. and it helped progress.
Well, yeah, that's great, but it doesn't really cancel out the fact that they've worked super hard against universal health care, you know, and lowering medication costs, because Koch Industries owns a bunch of pharmaceutical companies, you know. So
when you think about the harm that he's done and what he could have used his massive wealth to do, it really makes the quote unquote philanthropy portion all the more laughable.
Right.
It's like, oh, you know, someone's like sitting on you and then it's like, here, would you like a La Croix? It's like, wow, that's really thoughtful of you.
Yeah.
They're just like crushing your face. I mean, some people are into people sitting on them. But that's
yeah, and no shame from us at all.
No shame.
It just illustrates the problem really succinctly. And even I don't know if you saw, there's that interview that Lee Fang did.
No, I didn't. Missed it.
It was during the Tea Party years.
I saw that, yeah.
And he was asking about climate change and what he's planning on doing and whether or not he believes in it. And he clearly did not want to have this interview. And his like handler was being like overly friendly, like, all right, we're not doing interviews anymore. And he just sort of kept hammering it home. And David Koch made it clear that, like, well, I think that, like, the climate just changes, you know? That's just how it goes. And the propaganda machine that was already in play. And he didn't do any interviews like that ever since, because it went so poorly for him.
Well, he's a quick learner.
He's a quick learner.
I noticed that a lot about, like, handlers and stuff of, like, these famous terrible monsters, where it's like they always have that shit eating grin on their face, and they're like, kind of like, come on, buddy, you know we're not gonna do more interview with you, right? Come on, man. Come on, cool it, man. Oh, you know, he's not gonna talk more about how he's like destroying the planet. Come on. Aw, buddy, come on. We're not gonna talk about our evil plans on the microphone. Come on.
And it's that relationship that they want to be able to have. It's like, oh, this philanthropist is like this is fine, we're buddies.
Guy, you know?
Well, yeah, and then it they can have the image of a philanthropist while doing a whole bunch of grotesque things behind the curtain. You know, like the Koch brothers, Koch Industries, are main funders for Americans for Prosperity and the Cato Institute. You know, the big Republican donors and libertarian think tank organizers. And like you mentioned, the climate change, they've worked actively to propel anti-climate change
things. Their goal was to convince enough people that it's not an issue, it's not real, in order for them to continue to make money in the fossil fuel industry, which they did, even back in like decades and decades and decades ago, when their dad built Hitler an oil refinery.
Well, yeah, like their whole thing, they like got these refining techniques perfected and started focusing on bringing oil production elsewhere, I believe.
There's a reason that they say that they're libertarians and or classical liberals, they changed it to.
Yeah.
Where the idea being, just let everyone do whatever and it'll work out.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it worked out for them.
Yeah. So like one of the things that Koch Industries did that will perhaps doom us all is they financed a network of activism. It was called Americans for Prosperity. I'm just reading this from the New York Times, so that's why I sound so smart. They wanted to, and so the Americans for Prosperity would try to chill any legislation that would try to compensate for the demand of oil. So it's like any legislation that's like, hey, maybe we could shift to different types of energy so we don't have to use so much oil. The Koch funded activism was like, no, let's use even more oil, actually. In fact, why don't we just like use the oil and then have a holiday where we all kick seals in the face. Like,
well, that sounds fun.
It's cartoonishly evil.
Yeah, yeah. For prosperity, though.
Right,
there in the name. I don't know. I trust him now.
I loved Ben Shapiro. We always end up talking about him. Talking about the leftist reaction was poisonous to the death of a philanthropist was poisonous. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to mention that they poison people. I mean, they've literally been sued and have different cases being brought against them for, you know, they somehow manipulate the system so that restrictions don't get applied to them, and literally contaminating water sources and putting pollutants into air. And you see higher cancer rates in these communities where their plants are.
So literally
poisoning.
Also, metaphorically.
And metaphorically.
Having his whole thing is like, oh, this like toxic political environment. The leftists have poisoned the discourse. Well, actually, you like mocked Trayvon Martin on the anniversary of his death. You've wished death upon Noam Chomsky for no reason, so maybe it's not actually.
Who could possibly wish death upon Noam Chomsky? He's like,
you know who?
Well, of course, but I mean, like, it's also, even if you disagree with him, he's Garfield in the form of a grandpa who is sad about the world. Does that make sense?
It does.
I'm saying this from a place of love. I love him, and like, he's sort of he's just a facts monster.
No, I feel like,
he's like
calling someone Garfield from you is a great compliment.
Yes, it is, because I love Garfield and his whole thing. But his whole vibe. But it's like, it's that grumpy old man who just is like, all he does is just state a bunch of things that are factually correct, and then that's, you know, you can look this up, and then like, that people would hate him for that is pretty telling to me. Yeah.
Okay, Noam good, David Koch bad.
At one point, I want to say it in the context of this now. People, everyone's so upset, like, oh, I can't believe you're like making fun of this guy, and like, oh, say he's dead. We live in a society where very, very powerful and rich people face zero consequences for destroying the planet and like doing war crimes and doing all these bad things. Zero consequences.
Yeah.
What happens to them is that they grow old and they grow rich and then they die.
Of natural causes.
Right. So like, when that happens, why can't society at least have that? Like, they're not going to go on trial for anything. Like, they're not going to face any sort of like accountability.
Right.
So
catharsis.
There you go.
One other bad thing that David Koch did, speaking of poison, is he created a phony environmental group called Concerned Citizens for the Environment, but it was instead a group that would try to combat regulations to deal with acid rain.
Oh my God.
So like, they were like, acid rain doesn't exist. So it was like this, like, oh, we're concerned citizens for the environment. Don't stop acid rain. It does not exist.
What's the name of the group again?
Concerned Citizens for the Environment.
That's cartoonish.
Yeah.
That's so like, acid rain specifically is such a weird thing to be like, no, don't worry.
But it falls out of the sky and scientists collect it and they...
Doesn't exist.
We have evidence of it.
Doesn't exist.
There's barrels of it.
No, we're concerned.
Here, David, why don't you bathe in it?
Oh.
If it doesn't exist, take the water.
Remember that during the Flint thing where it was like, didn't they do something where it's like, here, you want to drink the water from Flint? Like, as kind of, you know.
Hard pass on that.
Yeah.
All right. It's time to move on and talk about other bad people.
Neat.
How about Joe Walsh?
Boo.
That wasn't.
Boo.
Well, that kind of was the reaction I was expecting.
Joe Walsh, is he angry Twitter man?
Yes.
Okay.
He's angry about other stuff now, though, these days.
These days.
Changed what he's mad about.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Earlier this week, Never Trumper, Obama birther conspiracy theorist, and former congressman Joe Walsh.
Wait, is he a Never Trumper?
I believe he's been referred to as a Never Trumper.
He voted for that guy. He was like super into Trump.
Okay.
He said if he didn't win, maybe this is me making a mistake.
Sometimes Trumper.
Most of the time Trumper.
I have seen him described.
The one time it mattered.
Occasionally like, not a Trumper.
The one time.
Listen, I don't know.
All right.
I'm taking what I've read. Maybe I'm wrong.
Let's do it.
Anyway, he is going to primary Donald Trump, you guys. He's joining former Rep Mark Sanford and former Governor William Weld, who, you're right, you haven't heard of.
Yeah, jeez.
Haven't heard of him. Joe is not the hero that we need. Mm. He's the guy that we got, though. A little bit about Joe. Joe started his career as a social worker, surprisingly.
What?
Yep. That comes after he failed as an actor, unsurprisingly. Then he transitioned to fundraising and eventually ran for Congress as a Tea Party candidate. During his time there, he said that Democrats are keeping Hispanic and Black Americans dependent on public assistance to maintain their voter base. He was also...
Oh, yeah, that's kind of like when you go to the doctor's office and, like, you get medications to help your heart from not doing good, and then your doctor's like, but I don't want to keep you dependent on this life-saving medication to keep your heart from not exploding.
Right, exactly, so like that.
Just, yeah. Pull yourself up by your heart straps.
Heart straps.
Yeah.
The aorta, it is called.
By your aorta straps. He loudly and frequently called Obama a Muslim, was pushing birtherism even before Trump.
I forgot about that. Remember when we used to do that?
Remember.
When we used to, as like a, as an actual slur, to call Obama Muslim. I totally, I mean, like, I know I have.
It seems so quaint, doesn't
it? As not a Muslim, I have the privilege of forgetting about that, but it's like, oh yeah, we were super freaking racist.
It was a slur. Yeah.
And when people defended Obama, instead of going like, so what? They're like, no, he's not a Muslim.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
He's actually good. He's good. He's
like
not
McCain,
a Muslim.
Remember when McCain did that? Like, no, he's actually
a God-fearing American.
Yeah, he's a good family man, as if a Muslim person couldn't be that. Anyways, that's some context to now we have Muslim congresswomen who, like, everyone's like, oh no, we're not racist. Like, dude, like, less than 5 years ago, you were like saying Obama's a Muslim as a big, like,
and that's the thing. Right. We have to be scared of that,
right? Exactly.
I'd say we're just as racist, just in different
ways. Well, that's the thing. So, like, this a lot like Walsh's tweets about Obama being a Muslim or a secret Muslim, they're very recent, like, it's not
they
even,
are
like,
very recent,
2017, 2018. Mm-hmm. So, we're still there. We're never leaving.
We'll get to some of that too. But during the 2012 campaign, came out that he had failed to pay over $100,000 in child support, and he defended himself.
Not laughing at the children, laughing at Joan Walsh being
that bad. But he defended himself by saying that being a deadbeat dad made him more understanding of the plight of real Americans.
Oh my God!
So that's a spin.
That is some. Like oily weasel.
It sure is.
That is so funny. It's like you know, like, oh, you know, I really, it's really a roll up your sleeves kind of dinner table conversation where it's like, it turns out I'm a deadbeat dad, and that's a real sort of blue collared American.
Yeah, and people can really relate to that. I think after losing his campaign against Tammy Duckworth in 2012, Joe then transitioned into conservative radio until 2014, when he was pulled off the air for using racial slurs during a discussion of the Washington Redskins.
Oh.
So that's cool.
Wait, did he, was it the name of that team that he used, or was it something else that he used?
It was about the team name.
I believe.
It was like about these of the Redskins.
It was about the Redskins, and how we shouldn't change the Redskins.
Yeah.
And like if Redskin is just like the N-word, which no one's saying it's just like the N-word, but if it's just like the N-word, why can't I say that? And he would like rattle off a bunch of other slurs.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that game. It's where people pretend that they're just saying the slurs as a way to make like a political point, when in reality they relish making those slurs. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm familiar with that.
You get that whole game.
Yeah.
So like that was in 2014, which is still very recent, but even more recent thing that you guys might not remember. He got tricked into saying that we should give guns to kindergartners by Sacha Baron Cohen on television. And he was going along with, he was being interviewed and he was going along with the interviewer. He still said it. It's a thing that a grown up should be able to think critically and not get pushed along with saying something. And that's not a quality in a person that you want for president.
Not really.
No.
Aside from all the other qualities I also don't want.
You certainly don't want someone that malleable.
Well, it's like my mom, when I was like in high school, my mom used to say, like, Katie, if everyone else in the room is trying to give guns to children, like, you shouldn't just agree with them because of peer pressure. And that was a valuable life lesson.
You think you learned it? You took it to heart?
Yeah. You guys think we should give guns to children.
In which case, I'm open to have my mind changed.
I'm open to it,
You're both open to it?
Is it cool? Like, am I cool right
it
now?
Would
like,
be
what
cool.
What do I need to say to be cool?
Give guns to children.
Uh-huh. Okay, give guns to children. Am I cool?
Take it out of context.
Wow.
Damn it.
Tweet it.
Wow.
Damn it. I got bamboozled.
So obviously, this man doesn't stand a chance of winning, but that isn't really the point. He was running to be like a foil to Trump, to call out
point is
Trump's lies. Probably get his show back to raise his celebrity. But, you know, the idea is
it's the conservative grifter shuffle. It's like, support a candidate who who you know is a racist, insane balloon person, that person becomes the racist, insane balloon person. You act shocked and you're like, something must be done about this. Then you say, I am the person to do something about this. You continue your grift and you become rich and old and nobody loves you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I agree. I mean, I think that's a big part of this. I do think it's good that someone is saying, from the Republican side, is saying, like, is going to be up there saying, like, this is a lie. And that's the point. Like, to say this man is being a child. He's throwing a temper tantrum. This isn't true. Because they don't listen to us. You know, a lot of people don't just dismiss that. I'm not saying it should be Joe Walsh. Right. like the next part of my point is, like, we do need that. I'm glad that somebody is stepping up. But Joe Walsh is just as bad. He's like Trump. Joe. He's Trump-like.
I just don't think, I don't trust that he's going to keep with that. Like, it's going to be a Ted Cruz situation where he's like, we can't let this insane man near the nuclear button. And like several weeks later, I love this man. I would trust him with my entire family.
Yeah, no.
Like, well, 100%. You can't trust.
He loses the primary, which
he
will.
He is correct to say that my wife is ugly.
God. My dad being killed.
I do. That's exactly the thing that I feel is, like, I don't trust where you are right now. I don't trust that that is something that you actually believe. I think that you still would be appealing to the same shitty people on a very base level. Yeah. And
can I soft pitch a hashtag here?
Sure.
Hashtag never trust a fart, never trust Joe Walsh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Committed it to memory. It's trending now.
It's I'm sure that's gonna take. Yeah, that was a good joke. Good joke worth interrupting.
Continue. No, it was.
It's trending, I said.
Everybody support Katie and start tweeting that. Mm-hmm. Make it trend.
At everybody.
But make sure it's Katie IE.
Yes. Well, yes.
COD.
Or what were you gonna say?
It's something about how Joe sucks.
He does.
It's he even went on TV recently and was asked, like, would you vote for the Democrat? And he's like, I'm not there yet. The answer is no. He, of course, will.
Right.
None of these people will. If you're never Trump, or if you say you're never Trump, or sometimes Trump, or whatever, and you will vote for him because nothing beats owning the libs. And that's what drives so many of these people. And like, he's
nothing
gonna,
owns a lib like a bad vote.
Yeah. It's just so
burning the Amazon to own the
and
libs.
Like, yeah, basically. And I do hope that other people join in because it'll piss the president off a lot.
It already is.
It already
been
is.
Tweeting
but
about it.
Also might help him be like, they all came after me and they couldn't do it. And here I am. It'll make him appear stronger to the people that he needs to.
Yeah, I just don't know, because like, I know what's going to, I'm fairly confident what's going to happen here. Joe Walsh is going to do his little campaign and be like, blah, blah, blah. You know, Trump is bad, even though I voted for him and said he was cool before. But no, it's not that I was wrong. It's that somehow Trump changed, even though he didn't. He was been the same this entire time. Blah, blah, blah. Obviously, that's not going to work. And then if the Democratic candidate is actually a Democrat, not just like a Republican light, then it's going to be like, we have to do everything in our power to stop Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, because that will be the end. And if that means voting for Trump, like, we should. And I don't know if that's helpful to, well, in terms of helpful to the general humanity in terms of like getting rid of Trump, or if it would just help Trump more, where it's like almost an anesthetic, where it feels like, oh yeah, well, we're being critical, but in a way where we don't actually have to change how we vote or what we do or anything at all about the problem.
Right. And then you'll have this sort of coalition of like people who are like against Trump for a while, but now they're saying we have to destroy the socialist menace.
Right.
And so that makes their coalition stronger because they're like, well, we're putting aside our differences to fight the...
So you guys saying we should vote for Biden?
Oh, what?
Absolutely not.
Did I say... I did not mean to say
that. No, you didn't. You didn't.
No, I think, it's just because ultimately these people... If you wrote out and you made them choose between fascism and socialism, they would choose the first one, and they wouldn't want to call it but that's what they would choose.
Although, Katie, with that point, because I think it's interesting, and I know you were just joking, but like, I do think that there's this sense of like, oh, well, we better elect someone who's a Republican light. Otherwise, the Republicans won't vote for will vote for Trump. I don't think any of the evidence points towards that.
I don't either.
And I know you know that, but like I think it's kind of an interesting point to bring up because it's like Republicans freaking love Trump. Like, did you see him at CPAC? They
eat it up.
They eat it up. They were like throwing their underpants on the stage. They were like rubbing.
Women were coming everywhere. Yeah. It was wild.
It was a sea of sexual energy. It was frankly quite absurd.
The boners were very distracting.
Right. It was, I mean, people were just rubbing their nipples to Trump's rhetoric about hating Jews or whatever he was saying. Right? Yeah. But like it's, they love him. They are not even like Joe Walsh would not vote for Biden over Trump.
No.
He's still going to vote for Trump.
Exactly.
Because they wouldn't do that. And so it's like if you go for, I think the only thing that's going to happen if you have like a Republican light candidate on the Democrat side is like leftists aren't going to vote for
them. That's exactly what I think.
Republicans aren't going to vote for them. And then it's just going to be.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's.
They're going to lose. Yeah.
Some people get upset about this when I've had this conversation and like, that's not true. There's lots of people that are on the edge. And I'm sure that there are. But not enough to swing. Like, no. I don't think that that's not the people we're chasing. Really, we're chasing the people that are so turned off by politics and don't think that things can change that they don't typically vote.
People who, you want
to inspire people to show up.
Because even, I mean, like, it is interesting because there's always this fact, I think, that seems counterintuitive given the narrative in the media. But like the people who voted for back in 2008, people who voted for Clinton in the primaries were less likely to then vote for Obama than the Bernie Sanders supporters.
Most of them voted for
Clinton. So like I think it's almost like it's less even about just like getting like all voting Democrats on board. I think generally speaking, they are. It's the people who are like, my life is miserable. Why?
Exactly.
If I vote for like person X versus person Y, it's not going to matter. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's really revving them up and having a, you know, I mean, you have to have, I think when you're running against a populist candidate on the right, you have to have a populist candidate on the left. I don't see really how else you kind of combat the, you know.
Yeah.
He's duping so many people.
Right.
The people who are saying that, like, they want a moderate Republican for the Democrats, they can vote for him. Those aren't, like, the lower or middle class. And those are rich people.
Yeah.
Like, we want...
Exactly, because we want to protect.
There are people who legitimately got duped by the president claiming he's going to take on Washington. He's going to like do all this. You need somebody who actually gives solutions to get them to come.
Right,
100%. Because, and I think frequently with everything that goes on, we lose track of maybe the one most valid lesson we should have learned in 2016 is that
Bernie would have won.
Is that people are suffering and they get overlooked, and yes, that people. Not a high percentage of our population, I don't have it in front of me, but shows up to vote, that people need to change, that they are disaffected, that they do not feel like the government works for them. And so they voted for the thing. A lot of people did vote for the person that represented something dramatically different. And I don't know. I don't feel like that's been metastasized by our party.
I mean,
no, absolutely not.
Yeah, the popular vote did still go to.
It did.
But it's like we need, because of gerrymandering and disenfranchisement and all the shenanigans designed to make it really difficult for especially lower income voters to vote. And like, you know, it's like you need to be extra.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just can't.
Lots of other stories about fun people this week, like Steve King being broke and Sheriff Joe Arpaio running for his old job on his same old racist platform. But we're going to have to save that for another time. We're going to take a quick break. Then we come back. We're going to chat with Katie. Am I the Amazon?
It's a forest, but it's also on fire.
Sounds bad. Speaking of not having the time, take some time to diversify your mind with Skillshare, an online learning community with thousands of classes covering dozens of topics, both creative and entrepreneurial. Examples include The Next Person's Line.
Photography, writing, animation, productivity.
That's correct, Next Person. And whether it's something you want to improve upon or something you've always wanted to try, you can learn it at Skillshare and continue learning throughout your life. via listening and reading on
Skillshare, which is easy to use, easy to complement, and oh, wowee, it is easy to join. The millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for our listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare for free.
I couldn't agree more, but if I could, I'd say that, yeah, Skillshare is offering even more news listeners 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. To sign up, go to Skillshare.com/news. If you need me to repeat it, go to Skillshare.com/news to start your 2 months now. If you don't need me to repeat it, good for you, but not everyone is you, so Skillshare.com/news.
You didn't give me one last line?
Unbelievable.
And we're back for even more news. While the president wants to nuke tropical storms without considering that the wind will carry radiation into cities, and while he's also currently trying to lift logging restrictions and protections in Alaska's Tongass National Forest, and while the Nebraska State Supreme Court recently upheld a ruling that will allow the Keystone Pipeline to be built as planned, well, while all of that is happening, the Amazon is still on fire.
It is indeed.
And that's why we have Katie here.
Yeah. It's a bad... I'm not going to lie, folks. This is a bad one.
This is
We're in serious trouble.
Amazon burned down.
Yeah, wrong Amazon. It's not the Bezos one. It's the good one with all the animals and stuff. It's really frustrating because it's not just the fires. It's the fact that the Bolsonaro government, which, as you may know, is being very much supported by our government, is deforesting the Amazon at an unprecedented rate. This is of great concern to a few people. Number one, everyone on the planet. Number two, the animals who live in the rainforest. And number three, the over 1 million indigenous people who currently live in the rainforest and around the rainforest. It's a big problem. I can go through some of the reasons to care if...
Yeah, I mean, I know that there are a ton of them. One thing I was reading about, I mean, other rainforests regrow and replenish themselves. But I believe, am I wrong? The Amazon turns into a different climate, when it's raised.
Yeah. So here's the issue is that with the Amazon, it's something called dieback, where once you start to deforest and burn it down, it is almost like a domino effect where the rest of the rainforest will start to die off in response because you can think about the Amazon rainforest as a living organism. The hydrological cycle, which is like the water cycle, which keeps the rainforest alive, is going to be impacted by deforestation. So the amount of you think about, like, you have a area with a bunch of trees, a bunch of vegetation that all helps retain water in the soil and in the trees and in the plant matter. And if that isn't there, if it's just like a cattle ranch or a deforested area, the water cycle can't, the water retention isn't the same. I'm not a climate scientist, so it's hard for me to go into too much detail there, but it's basically, you think about the water cycle. Water evaporates, the rain's back down. This is very important for the Amazon.
Does it even make it good farmland after that?
It's a cattle ranch, I guess.
Right.
Once you start picking off forest, it has a sort of exponential effect as you reach higher levels of deforestation. So between 1979, I think, and now, before then, it was about, there's like 1% of the forest that had been deforested. Between 1979 and 2018, 17% had been deforested. And researchers think that once we reach levels of around 20 to 25% deforestation, that's the crisis point at which the it's beyond the crisis point, basically, where at that point that domino effect of dieback will start to happen, and it will I think it's called downgraded it'd become downgraded savanna or something like that, where it's it affects the whole system. It's like what I said on my show when I talked about this, is you think about cutting off 25% of a human.
Right.
You're probably not going to make it.
Yeah,
like,
at a certain point.
Like right after you can't just take away a chunk of a living being and then like expect it to survive. I know that we don't think of a forest as an organism, but they
it
are.
Is, yeah.
They are. They are. It's because it has such a fragile balance, the ecosystem, that once you start cutting off parts of it, it can go to a point where it's like, sure, you only deforested 25%, but then that's a quarter of it, and then
the 75% needed that 25% to
exactly. It's like
slowly, yeah.
It's like if someone like cut off your head and was like, well, that's only like 12% of your body.
You'll be fine.
Right, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Walk it off.
How possible is reforestation?
Well, I mean, if we stopped now, right? Like, so if it just like stopped deforesting it, it's not terrible news, right? Because like the research seems to indicate, since we're about 17%, and
it's still even after these fires?
I don't know.
Yeah.
At this
right,
point,
I wonder if it'll, like after this.
Well, storm. That's the thing. So like there was some projections where if it researchers were looking at the extinction rates of animals. And
some
like
animals we didn't even know existed, probably.
Yeah. Well, there's so many animals we probably will never know that they existed because right. they'll go extinct before we discover them. But they were looking at, so business as usual, meaning the logging and the deforestation before the recent events now of Bolsonaro, and the rates of extinction if we stop right now, like best case scenario, there's still going to be dozens of animals that go extinct. If we continue business as usual, that number goes up to over 100, I think. And then if the unknown thing, because this research started before the Bolsonaro government, now it's like we're at panic, not just like business as usual, but the worst case scenario. So that's really concerning. But yeah, I mean, it is something where if, in theory, if we stopped now, I don't know whether it would grow back, but it would certainly not collapse.
Right.
So, yeah.
The person who's in power does not want that.
Right. So there were leaked PowerPoint slides from ministers in his government that showed they have these plans to commercialize strategic areas in the Amazon in an attempt to stop NGOs from establishing these programs to save the rainforest. So their thinking is once we like put in like these freeways and various commercial enterprises, then that will block the NGOs from doing their work. Yeah.
Sounds like something the Koch brothers would be behind.
Yeah. Well, it's also, they were talking about how that Bolsonaro's racist rhetoric against the indigenous peoples is really helping them with their plans, because it's keeping people from staying informed about the issue in Brazil. And like they don't necessarily understand what's plenty of people do and are horrified, but like the government propaganda machine is trying to keep people in the dark about it, and also to make them feel less empathetic towards the indigenous people.
Right.
I have some quotes from Bolsonaro want me to do that to you.
I do it to me.
Okay, so all right, well, first of all, here's the leaked slide from just recently that Bolsonaro's government had in their little PowerPoint presentation, which I can only imagine was called like "Our Evil Plans to Destroy the Rainforest" with the dissolve effect in PowerPoint.
Please don't tell too many people.
Some clip art.
Yeah, clip art, like with a sad dolphin. Here's the quote: "Development projects must be implemented on the Amazon basin to integrate it into the rest of the national territory in order to fight off international pressure for the implementation of the so-called AAA project." The AAA project, this is me speaking, is a, is a multinational effort to protect the Amazon. And
so it's a
good
globalist agenda?
A cabal of
global
of elites.
Evil tree-hugging bastards who want a world where their children can breathe in.
Yawn.
They don't care about money.
Snoozefest.
So to do this, here back to the evil slide, quote, "To do this, it is necessary to build the Trombetas River hydroelectric plant, the Obidos Bridge over the Amazon River, and the implementation of the BR-163 highway to the border with Suriname."
Oh my God. Just the idea of like these highways. It's so disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like crushing the skulls.
It makes me really sad.
Yeah.
It's one of those
dolphins. Yeah.
All this. Every like couple of days, something like that. You hear something like that. And you're like, didn't we all like grow up with books about this and how it's bad?
Right. Yeah.
Like every single thing. It's like, no. Like they're like, you grow up with as a kid and you're like, there's a phrase, the money's the root of all evil. Something like that.
Do they want climate change and global disaster to happen?
Care. They don't care.
They don't care.
They have to know that it's happening.
Well, here's a few quotes from Bolsonaro to give you a sense of his personality and who he is as a person. And this is going to have some not nice language towards indigenous peoples, so that there's a warning there about that. So here's a quote from 2015. Bolsonaro says, "The Indians do not speak our language. They do not have money. They do not have culture. They are native peoples. How did they manage to get 13% of the national territory?" Here's another quote from 2015. Bolsonaro says, quote, "There is no indigenous territory where there aren't minerals. Gold, tin, and magnesium are in these lands, especially in the Amazon, the richest area in the world. I'm not getting into this nonsense of defending the land for Indians." All right, and this is perhaps the worst one, most recently in 2017. Quote, "You can be sure that if I get there," which means get elected president of Brazil, "there will be no money for NGOs. If it's up to me, every citizen will have a firearm in the house. There will not be a centimeter demarcated for indigenous reservations or quilombolas." So,
wow.
Me again, not horrible monster human. Bolsonaro. Quilombolas are Afro-Brazilian residents of Quilombola settlements. They're the ancestors of slaves, people who escaped chattel slavery in Brazil. So, saying like, first of all, fuck the rainforest, the lungs of the planet, which produces 20% of the planet's oxygen. Fuck the indigenous people who have lived there for generations that we have genocided over the past several centuries. And fuck the Quilombolas, who are the ancestors of people who have escaped from chattel slavery and crime against humanity. That's who we're dealing with in Brazil, which is pretty
we should make him the bad. President. What if we voted for him?
Oh, Cody, have you been listening, buddy?
Can he be president in both places?
Oh, boy.
Because that would be great.
President of just all animals so mm-hmm. we can watch him kill everything?
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm tired of animals.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sick of animals. Another reason. First of all, I think it's important to note that the indigenous peoples there are organizing against their homes being destroyed, which is their ancestral lands, and it's also important to them. They grew up understanding the importance of the rainforest, yeah. And it's obvious it is their physical home, so it's not just like a theoretical thing for them. Like it's life or death sometimes. Right. Like they do get attacked.
Well, their home's on fire.
Right, yeah, right. Well. I mean, they also get it. Like remember what Bolsonaro said. Every citizen will have a firearm mm-hmm. in the house. Yeah. What does that mean? In the context of, there was a video recently of a indigenous woman who was crying about how she was trying to get her children to fall asleep and they were scared because of the gun noises, and she realized she also couldn't get to sleep because she was scared of being killed.
Well, because they're being othered.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the Amazon is important because of the people living there, the indigenous people. It's also important because of it's the most biodiverse ecosystem on the entire planet. It's also important because, like I mentioned, it's the world's lungs. It produces 20% of our oxygen. It also absorbs millions of tons of carbon. And so, like, what happens with living trees is they absorb carbon. Dead trees will actually release carbon.
So that's what I was reading uh-huh. something about that I didn't quite understand all of it completely.
You think about like a human body, like when it's alive, you know, you generally don't release gross gases and smells. Well, sometimes you do, but like when you die, you decay and you release a bunch of nasty.
Yeah,
it's the same thing with trees, except when trees are alive, they'll actually absorb carbon and they'll help with the carbon cycle, which if you don't know, when the carbon cycle gets out of whack and there's too much CO2 released into the atmosphere, we get the greenhouse gas effect, which warms the planet and cooks us to
it's a feedback loop.
Tender sort of medium
mm-hmm,
rare.
Mm-hmm. Moist.
Nice and juicy and moist. but so the uh, Actually, not moist.
Right.
Overcooked and dried out.
Dry and chalky meat.
Okay,
is
yeah, I'm
what
a vegetarian. I don't know how to cook meat.
But when trees die, they actually will release all that. Because, like, think of it this way. Like, when something's decaying, that releases the CO2. It releases methane and other gases that contribute to global warming. So alive, the trees actually help absorb the impact of global warming. Dead, they will actually exacerbate it.
Right.
So when you kill off, it's like it's a double-edged sword where, like, you're both removing the thing that's helping and you're also creating tree corpses that are...
Make it worse.
Right. Yeah. And there's no... Here's the thing, guys. There's no way to get rid of trees without them releasing CO2. So you can't be like, oh, well, if the trees can cause problems, why not get rid of them? No, no, no. Alive, they're good. Any other state of being,
right,
they release CO2. So it's like, and we need, also we just generally need trees to produce oxygen. But like, it is if we lose the Amazon rainforest, which is very possible at this point. I'm generally an optimistic person, but I don't know how we recover from that. Yeah.
So how close are they? Do you have any idea where they are with containing it?
The fire, I have no idea. I mean, recently the G20 countries were like, we will pledge $20 million, yeah, which is
nothing,
laughable. I mean, so that's seven.
It's embarrassing.
That's,
it's shameful.
What is that? Seven countries?
Mm-hmm. Seven. Yeah, yeah. G7.
Sorry, did I say G20? It's G7. So the seven countries, 20 million. What's seven divided? What is that like?
I mean, that's like
two each.
2.2 million each.
Yeah,
like that.
That's 2.2 million per country of the wealthiest countries in the world. That's a joke.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That is a joke.
Unbelievable.
It shows
that none of them care.
They
actually
don't. Yeah. I mean, and then on top of that, Bolsonaro's like, you need to apologize to me before
right,
I accept any of this money. Which, you know, obviously infuriating, but it's almost like, is it even worth it? Because the money is not,
right,
it's not enough.
Like, why would you even do that to get him to take the money that's not going to do anything?
Mm-hmm.
Just real quick, so, like, you get, obviously, like, you need the trees, but then you get rid of them, and then it makes it worse in
right,
two different ways. But what if, so, like, what if you get rid of the trees, and they do all the bad things that happens from that, but then you use the land to raise cattle? That'll help, right? That helps global warming,
right? As we know, cows suck in dangerous gases through their anus.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
No, mm-hmm, wait, sorry. I got that backwards. They actually spew dangerous gases.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It's easy to confuse that.
Those lethal farts.
Yeah. So the methane. Cows are super bad. Fuck cows. No, cows themselves are sweet little angels, but they, unfortunately, their asses are asses of doom because they'll eat a lot of biomatter. And then they digest it and they fart out the methane. Now, methane is a greenhouse gas, which contributes to global warming, which throws off the carbon cycle, which is very bad.
I wonder if it burns when they poop.
Well, there have been cases of cows spontaneously combusting.
Oh, my God.
it's pretty rare.
It sucks to be a cow.
It's pretty rare, but it does happen. Yeah. So,
start another fire.
So the problem isn't really the fact that cows exist. It's that the demand for beef is so high that they're raising and growing cows to then kill them and eat them.
And using a lot of water to feed them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we eat huge amounts of beef. So I know, Katie, you're a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. Cody, are you? I don't know.
I'm trying.
Yes.
I don't eat beef.
I'm on the same level where
and
it's like...
Stuff.
You know, I don't necessarily want to say, like, oh, anyone who's not a vegetarian is a bad person who's, like, it's less than people eat meat in general. It's that we eat so much of it.
And we've been programmed to think we need all of this food.
Right. And we really could cut back on beef. It's not even healthy for us to eat that much of it. So, you know, but yeah, so that's
talking like that'll get Trump elected.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I thought we were Americans.
That is shoot. Dang it. I forgot.
We eat beef.
We do eat beef. I mean, it's but the Impossible Burger, right?
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I eat those.
I hate it because it tastes like meat.
Right.
I'm like, I get nauseous even thinking about that burger after having one.
That's interesting. Yeah, I have a couple of friends. Well, you guys know David.
Yeah.
He's like also vegetarian, and he's like, I can't deal with the texture.
It's awful.
I don't know if he even cares about other people. No, I'm kidding. He's a great guy, but he was like, yeah, I'm a vegetarian because the meat is
too. This is so gross. I mean, that is why I stopped eating meat back in high school. I would maybe gag.
Dave's a great guy. I don't
want to. Yeah. No shade to Dave.
That got me there. I stopped with pigs first because of pigs.
Yeah, pigs
and, are but cute. Then like thinking about meat, I was like, wait, that's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I miss it. I miss it a lot.
And I talked about this on Creature Feature too, which is like, you don't have to be the perfect human who never does anything, like, because it's impossible.
Right.
We all have like iPhones and stuff. And so none of us are perfect.
Yeah, we live in a society.
We live in a society. We are forced to participate in a system that is not great. So don't feel like you have, because like, I think that's kind of a paralyzing thing where it's like, I have to like, you know, only eat vegetables now. Well, then I'm gonna fail at that, so I'm not gonna do anything. You don't have to do stuff like that. You do whatever you can.
You do your best,
right? You do like maybe that means, you know, cutting back on certain like meat products every so often. But it can also mean like if you can't do that for budgetary or dietary reasons, there are so many other things you can do, like donating to especially these indigenous groups in the Amazon that are, you know, there's like the Indigenous Women's March that just happened where they were fighting for the rights of the Amazon, and they're doing a lot of great work there. So you can support them. You can signal them.
It's a great suggestion.
Yeah. And so there's so many things and like just staying informed and voting for people who don't actively want to destroy the planet. That's great too. So, you know,
yeah. And being aware and stuff. And also like with all that kind of stuff, always comes back to, you can do these things. And obviously they're the things that need to be done aren't really within our power.
Right.
And that's, like, the really frustrating
and terrifying
thing where it's like, doing these things is good, but you also still sort of feel powerless when, like, literally the Amazon is on fire and the, like, seven richest countries on the planet are like, here's $20 million.
Yeah.
Like,
but
I have to stop eating my delicious food. Like,
right. No, I think that is sort of the thing that people have to remember. It's true where it's like, you aren't, like, each individual isn't necessarily to blame in terms of like, oh, if you just like shaped up on the recycling, like our problems would be solved. That's obviously untrue. But I do think in terms of feeling powerless, like, I think it is true that if you kind of try to think about what you're individually doing and whether it would make a difference if then a million people
did
what
you
do.
I mean, it's the same thing with voting. Like, yes, this vote feels futile, but altogether it means something. It's just getting everybody together.
Right.
Right. Problem. Yeah. If a million people had a little garden on their window, you know.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, and I think like also it's almost just as powerful to like talk to other people about it and to keep caring about it and keep reading stuff about it. And like, I know people make fun of people for tweeting and calling it slacktivism, but I think it's great
an incredible tool that we have.
I think it's good to also protest, but since there aren't really like, there aren't that many like pro Amazon protests going on yet. Like it does kind of start out with like going online and being like, hey, I'm not going to stop caring about this issue once it's out of the news cycle. I'm going to keep caring.
Right.
That's how we kept the kids in cages in the news cycle.
Right.
But they're still in the cages.
They're still in cages. They are, but you know what I mean.
I know. But think about it this way. Either we're doomed, which don't you want to like go to whatever afterlife you believe in knowing that you tried? Or
that's a good point.
Or we're not doomed, which I personally don't think we're doomed. I think we're on a sliding scale of how bad it's gonna be, so the more we do, the less bad it's gonna be. So it's like it's not either doomed or not doomed. It's gonna be how many people are gonna end up suffering, and it's like the things we do now will determine that. So it's like,
and the only way to like make us do things now is to talk loudly and constantly about it, and don't stop until stuff is changing. People who are entrepreneurs or inventors, like, work on, find your problem, find the thing that cleans water, find the thing that, you know, whatever it is.
But
like,
don't try to tell us that you're going to do an ice making robot. That's gonna
not that bullshit. Do the things that matter.
Oh, that was so funny. I think Cody, you tweeted that out, or maybe it was you, Katie.
With the giant ice cube.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. The ice machine.
Unbelievable.
Here's the thing. those kinds of, I'm not saying that those kinds of inventions aren't good. They're good. There's a lot of cool things that you can do. That's not a bad way to say specifically helping polar bears, right? As their ice diminishes and then they die off because they don't actually have ice floes to or ice chunks to walk on. And so it's not like a garbage idea itself. However, proposed as an alternative solution to like a Green New Deal or something,
any
is
sort
insane.
Of renewable absurd. Energy right. investment,
because.
Like,
because here's the thing, like a tree is it's like one of the most amazingly designed green energy things that can help save us from global warming. It is so efficient. It is so, I mean, it's like, it's an incredible invention that took hundreds of billions of years, you know, or hundreds of millions of years to evolve the way that it did. And it's each one of the, like, each acre of the rainforest is like so much better at, like, more efficient at converting dangerous climate gases into harmless good oxygen than like an ice robot that we make, that since we don't have a green energy infrastructure yet, like each ice robot is going to have a carbon footprint most likely.
Yeah, use oil and plastics.
So
and
it's so like all of that money that we would pour into like R&D for ice making robots, we could pour into like saving
absolutely
the rainforest.
Mm-hmm. There's just better uses of energy and time. And
keeping the good machine alive.
We're definitely almost out of time here. I think we should talk about a couple news dump items real quick, or one.
Mm-hmm.
If you're cool to move on.
Oh, yeah.
From this, you know, it's hurricane season currently. Just nuke those goddamn hurricanes. Mm-hmm. Break up the weather pattern and don't care about the fact that you're releasing nuclear.
Why are you spreading fake news? He didn't say that. Okay.
Okay.
What did he say?
It did nothing.
He didn't say that.
He didn't say it at all. It was made up by fake news.
Oh.
So how dare you? No, he's very angry that that leaked and people see him for what he is.
Oh, I see,
He's been tweeting about how fake it is for a couple of days.
Yes. Well, the tropical storm Dorian has now been upgraded to hurricane. It's currently heading for Puerto Rico and then it'll hit.
Can we stop giving these storms like such nice names?
Yeah, like sweet.
Dorian
sounds
and
like
Francis.
He's from Pride and Prejudice.
Like, yeah, give it a like Hurricane Chad. That'll get people.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just like
Hurricane Danger.
Or like Hurricane donate to like turn the name into a hashtag.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Hashtag like donate to
hurricane
the Amazon hashtag.
Like hurricane. Yeah.
Anyway,
better
hurricane
options than Dorian.
Hurricane, any of those options, is now heading for Puerto Rico. Will hit the mainland, I think, on Monday. But then the DHS announced on Tuesday that they are rerouting $155 million from FEMA to border funding for the wall. Very cool. We've been here before. Did this last year, I believe. Or the Coast Guard. Remember that?
Mm.
It just makes me crazy. I don't know why he gets to do this. Why they get to do that. Doesn't like Congress appropriate these funds and then someone just comes in and decides to move it?
How dare you suggest that our president is ignoring the executive norms usually presidents follow in his office? How dare you?
That's pretty insulting.
That's
honestly
my podcast.
How dare you insinuate that the Democratic Party is ineffectual and weak and unwilling to step up and really take on this fight?
I don't believe I did insinuate that.
How dare you?
But now that you mention it, I dared.
We
don't have much time. So now I'm going to talk real quickly about how Brett Stevens is a goddamn bad bug. That seems like a good way to end this.
Sorry.
No. It's great. I'm going to tell the story real quick in case nobody knows about it.
I'm just excited about bed bugs because I love parasites.
This is
except for Brett Stevens. I don't like human parasites.
No.
You like actual animal parasites.
This
are pretty cool.
This
is
Katie's relationship there.
Right. This is Katie's forte. Anyway, apparently the New York Times newsroom has bed bugs. Which seems a little bit appropriate after the rough months they've been having. Mm. Anyway, the New York Times has bed bugs. This has led to many jokes, including a professor who tweeted that the bed bugs are a metaphor for Brett Stevens. Stevens saw it and then straight up tattled by sending an email.
Carbon copied his provost, right?
Unbelievable. Yeah, the provost of this professor's university asking for civility.
What a wiener.
I think he must have been so unbearable as a child.
It's amazing. You know, he invited him to come to his home and meet his wife and kids and call him a bedbug to his face.
Yeah. He's just a real dweeb that nobody.
I'm in the hospital right now visiting a child with, what's your name? I don't care. Visiting a child with cancer. Would you like to tell this cancerous, sorry, it's actually not cancer. Shut up. It's tell this child with cancer that I am a bedbug. Would you have the balls to do that? And I'm CCing your mother and your boss.
I would totally do that.
If I was that kid, I'm like, get away from me. You're going to give me bed bugs.
It's so, God, everything about this is so funny.
Yeah.
And really infuriating.
It's stupid. Well, okay, I'm just going to say, stupid. I'm going to say the thing that I said to you guys before we recorded. Cody, you were like, it was delightful for a second. And I'm sure it was if you caught that story when it was happening. Maybe you got a laugh out of it. It really did irritate me by the end of the day that we were still talking about it. This man, people going on the news. Stop talking about it. The Amazon is on fire, and I didn't see any articles about that today. You know, right. Like, yeah.
People like Brett Stevens, they're in this relationship with the rest of humanity where they suck things like our energy and our attention. They suck it up, and it doesn't actually benefit. And I'm trying to remember what that's called in evolutionary biology. Oh, yeah, it's called a parasitic relationship. So he's like tasty. Sucking up all our attention by being the way he is. He's going on the news. Then he gets his own, like, he gets to go on the news and be like, well, I'm going to defend myself throwing a tantrum now. And then that generates more news. And it's sort of like, and it's like self-propagating, and it's exponentially reproducing like... Huh. Like a bed bug.
Like a bed bug. So you're like saying that this was a completely appropriate metaphor.
Yes, it is. Oh, also, I do want to say a fun fact about bed bugs. It's actually not a fun fact. it is to me, but anyways, here it is. So male bed bugs stab female bed bugs in order to mate with them. So okay. They actually like they don't have normal sex. They
just
say
that's not dissimilar to human reproduction.
Well, it's that it's like they actually bore a hole in their abdomen.
Oh God.
It's like, you know, like drilling for those ovaries.
That is horrifying.
Anyways, so that's that cool fact about bed bugs. I generally do enjoy parasites, except I don't like the parasites that plague animals and people in such an insidious way. So I actually dislike bed bugs. They're one of the few parasites I do not care for. Also fleas, because
fleas.
When they get on my dog, I'm so angry and I like decapitate them because mm-hmm. I make like a tiny guillotine. I'm like,
yeah, just a little bit,
you have been brought here before us to answer for the crimes of just making Cookie have a real bad case of the itchy bottom.
How do you plead?
Let them eat blood.
So you're saying the comparison was apt?
Yes,
the comparison
was apt.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, please don't carbon copy my mom and my boss in an email to me.
Do it, Brett. I know you listen to this.
All right, that's all the time we have today. Katie, thank you so much for joining us. Do you want to plug your show, where you're at online, all
yes,
that?
Yes. So my show is Creature Feature. It is a podcast about animals and people and how we're kind of similar but also different.
Kind of like what you just explained with Brett Stevens.
Exactly. So if you want cool animal facts, cool animal behavior, and human psychology all mixed up into like a sort of parfait of living organisms, that's the podcast for you. And I have a rotating cast of awesome comedians on to join me. I've actually had both of you on.
Yeah, it's fun.
And you can find me at Katie Golden on the Twitter. I'm also at Pro Bird Rights, which it is not... You guys can see I'm an actual human and not just like a kind of swarm of oscillating birds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then you can find Creature Feature online, creaturefeaturepod.com, Creature Feature Pod on Instagram, Creature Feet Pod on Twitter. It's F-E-A-T. Don't do F-E-E-T. It's very different. we couldn't.
Oh, this is complicated.
Yeah. But, you know. Google is your friend too.
You'll find her all the places.
Find me on all the places.
Do it, guys.
Yeah, and check out the podcast. I think you'd like it.
You will love it. Well, we're out of here.
It's true.
We love you very much.
What?
We mean it.
All right.
I like you strongly.
Okay, well. Give us some time.